one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for everybody for being here. You got your, all your stuff done, Shahana, for recording and whatever?
Almost.
Recording in progress.
Okay, do a roll call. Stroyan here.
DiLorenzo here.
Nathan here.
You got it.
All right. Mr. Belwar is here. Mr. Belwar is here. Nancy Sarnell, our planner, and our engineers here. Review of the previous minutes. Are there any comments about the previous minutes?
Just in 23rd minutes, where it says the proposed property for use for the vehicle with vehicle and container sales, however, that is prohibited in this district. The container sales isn't just the motor vehicle sales.
Okay. All right. Well, we can't vote on that anyway, but that's the only correction
that you need. That's the only correction I see.
Okay. So, so we'll go right into DEPG. Is that fine? Okay. Mr. Belwar is representing us in the matter of the conditional use. So what I would appreciate is that Mr. Belwar and Mr. Waldron, if you get it straight, we have new planning commissioner, and we have, just so that we're all on record, that what the procedure is going to be, what our purpose is, how we're, so the conditional use, what the scope of this is, are the other conditional, are the, when, we're, it's kind of confusing because we're doing a conditional use just in general. So is each building comes in our application, is there another conditional use? How does that work? So I'll give the meeting to Mr. Belwar. And please make sure that everybody understands the time limits and the time frames, okay?
Sure, thank you. All right, so you have a conditional use application before you. Generally with any zoning application, there has to be a first hearing before the entity, usually the zoning hearing board. In this case, it'll be the board of supervisors within 60 days. And then we look at what the planning commission must do or can do. So Mr. Waldron included with his application some select zoning ordinance provisions, including section 608 concerning conditional uses. And that provides general conditional use standards and criteria. So we'll look at those in conjunction with the application. Then we'll also look at the PUCD ordinance that the Planning Commission recommended and the Board of Supervisors approved that allows this application to move forward. But that has its own specific criteria and standards within it. So you have the general that any conditional use has to meet, and then you have the specific ones that we'll review as regards to the PUCD section of the zoning ordinance. So with a conditional use, it's much like a special exception in that it's a use that's contemplated by the municipality, but you go through it to determine, did they meet the express criteria and standards in the ordinance? And does that call for, in your case, recommendations for supervisors actually imposing conditions on the application if you were to approve it? You, of course, could deny it, reject it, because it doesn't meet certain of the express criteria in there. But it's generally a use that's approved, so now the Planning Commission, because it will make a recommendation, will look at all the criteria and determine whether they're meeting the criteria, and in the end, the Planning Commission should issue either a recommendation of denial or a recommendation of approval with conditions attached to it. So that's generally the process. I'll ask Mr. Waldron, we have the 60-day requirement. I note that in the section 608, that it calls for the Planning Commission to review the application 30 days following its next regular meeting after the application. sort of my mind tonight is kind of Mr. Waldron giving us an intro to his application. And then at the next meeting of the Planning Commission, we'll really get into the substance of the different standards and criteria. And from that, I expect the Planning Commission will vote, if we hit everything, will vote on a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors. But I'll ask Mr. Waldron if he would be agreeable at this point to extending the 60-day time limit just because of the timing of the application and the fact that we have to go through two PC meetings.
Shall I address that, Kevin?
He's asking the question, yep.
Yeah, you're the chair. I certainly agree with the narrative that Attorney Belwar gave in terms of how the conditional use works. It is required that there be 60 days. That's because it was put into the statute that way, the municipality's planning code. Oftentimes in more complicated projects, it does make sense to go beyond the 60 days. I'm not going to automatically open up to a blanket, you know, an open-ended extension, but I'm certainly not going to say that we would fight over an extension if the timing was needed. This is a complicated, I mean, I do think, in spite of the fact that it took us quite a while to go through the curative amendment process, it did set up quite a few specific criteria that we should be able to see either they're met or they're not met, in addition to the ones that he alluded to that's already in the ordinance, and that's that section 608. And we hope that we can meet all those. But certainly if we get into mid-September and you're still not ready to make a recommendation, and that backs things up a little bit, especially because this township is very reasonable to have two supervisor meetings a month, I don't think we would be objecting to some type of extension. I don't know that I want to give it tonight, is what I'm saying. But I'm certainly not going to say that we wouldn't go along with that if that was necessary to get things right, so to speak. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay,
good.
Yes. Good. Mr. Belwar?
Yeah, no, it does to me. I appreciate that. And I think it's something that we do address in the September PC meeting.
So if you
and then,
I'm sorry. If it's your September meeting where you're going to take action, normally that's the fourth Tuesday of the month. Am I correct?
Yes.
That's correct.
The workshop's tonight, and it's the second Thursday of the month, right?
Right. So now, we'll have two meetings between then.
And I can't see, if I were on your board, I wouldn't want to say that I'm going to be ready to vote on something on August 25th, I guess it would be, which is...
I don't think our professionals are going to be ready
no,
to have
no.
a... So we
and
wanna,
that's okay, because I'm going to be away that week, so I really would like to have to attend with my grandchildren, you know. So I could
What'd
do a Zoom
you're
from
attending?
Avalon, but I don't want to do that. So.
Did you say you're attending with your grandchildren?
No. I said I'm going to be at a place with my grandchildren.
Right.
And that alone might eliminate the Zoom trouble. So certainly, you know, looking at this and maybe even reviewing it in some detail at the workshop meeting in September, but with the idea that hopefully you would be in a position to vote on it. If you're talking September, you know, the fourth Tuesday in September, whatever date that works out to, that if you wait until then to schedule, you probably are going to need an extension. If that gets moved back into later in October, or if we can do it by the beginning of November, I don't think that's an unreasonable time frame. But I think it would be helpful to kind of have a more detailed review at the September workshop meeting. And one other thing I'll mention, I know because of when Patrick first submitted a plan way back on December 31st of 2025?
Four.
One of the first things that happened was that the zoning officer did a review. In fact, we were rightfully called on the fact that we didn't submit a zoning permit application. Because a lot of municipalities don't do that, but Milford does, which is fine. We expected that we would, and I understand that your zoning officer, I know that he got it because I handed it to him, and that he was going to work towards trying to do a review by tonight's meeting. Now, if he's not ready for that, that's okay too, but if we could get that, it would be very helpful to us coming back whenever we do, which in all likelihood would be the September workshop. And now I'm done talking.
Good. So So that's a possibly, yeah, that's a possibly yes answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we will need an extension. Why don't we say that? I just don't know how long we'll need it for.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Is that
I'm anticipating, I think, like the planning commission, that there's going to be a review by the zoning officer to, as well as the planner in this case.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The zoning officer's review is here in the file. He reviewed it.
And my review is there.
Right.
Okay. And then the next question, to pick up on the chairman's question at the beginning of this, I'll ask the applicant, do you agree that there's an application for the overall PUCD, but as I recall in your application, you stated, we don't have any specific occupants yet, any tenants yet. And so you anticipate, assuming you get the general conditional use approval, that as each tenant comes in, signs papers, that you'll then come before the Planning Commission and the Board of Supervisors for a conditional use specific to that use.
I don't agree with that, particularly because of the way we tried to develop the curative amendment. There's absolutely no question that the uses that would be laid out, first of all, the land development plan, when that would come in, would have to have specifics as to the size and type of building that would be within the footprints for the proposed areas that are on the general conditional use. But the idea that we would have to do a conditional use hearing for each specific business that came in there, presuming that one, it fit into the plan that was already approved, or if it needed to be modified, but more importantly, if it was the listed uses that are already allowed in the DD zone, then we shouldn't have to do a separate, like four or possibly five more conditional use hearings besides the overall plan conditional use. We can certainly discuss that, but I think it was provided for the idea that once the conditional use was approved, that means those businesses that are allowed in the DD zone, because there's a number of them that aren't allowed, and in fact our Declaration of Covenants that I've submitted as a preliminary draft, albeit, restricts a number of uses that I don't think most people would want there. Tried to cover that pretty well, but that's subject to discussion as well. I don't know why there would need to be another conditional use. Now, there would need to be very defined area of parking and the loading area and the size of the actual building and what signage might even be on there. That would be part of the land development plan if and when we get the conditional use approval for the overall PUCD. That's how I envisioned it, Andrew.
Gotcha. Yeah. Go ahead. How do you envision it?
If I can add to that, the problem with that is, you're going to list a retail store. So it's fine that it be a retail store, but there's many different kinds of retail stores. And without them coming before us, we can't set conditions for each individual type of retail store that would be coming into that, depending on what they intend on carrying. There's any of the businesses can bring in a different type of setup, even though it's the same type of business. So how do we set conditions if they don't come in? Because we don't know what's coming in the beginning, so we don't have the opportunity to set any conditions on it.
Well, ideally, because we even talked about, well, what if one leaves and a replacement comes in? If we got the conditional use approval, I would recommend, at least from representing the developer, that it'd be really good to have the businesses that are planning to move in there initially be defined before we submitted the land development plan. Because otherwise we're going to have to be modifying it each time somebody different comes in initially. Now once they're in, hopefully they'll be there forever, beyond all our lifetimes. But even if they change, then a new occupant would have to fit into that thing or come back to the township and see if they could possibly adjust it. That
if
certainly would require a hearing.
If it's like for like, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
But if it's a similar business with different products, let's say,
but
like a retail store, retail store could be anything. It could be an automotive retail store that carries all kinds of oils and antifreezes, stuff like that. Or it could be a clothes store, which is no big deal. But that's my point. It, you know, you got different types of arrangements that could possibly be moving in. And if it's not like for like, mm-hmm. then it would have to come back in.
And I was going to say, do you normally regulate products? But you gave a good example of where there might be a concern about some of those products versus the clothing store.
Right.
I get that. You know, there's a number of things that are in the condominium deck that, that say, when, for example, the idea of having a you know, a marijuana shop or something like that, those kinds of things are prohibited. A number of, even certain types of restaurants are prohibited, okay? So some of those have been eliminated. Maybe we should discuss this as we go down the line, only because it's possible you might say, you know what, there's a category of uses where there might be some volatile substances, either because they could be pollutants or they could have some kind of hazard, and there's got to be special rules for them if they're going to go in there. I mean, that's I get where you're coming from, and I agree with that. Okay. But I don't know that we're going to regulate what kind of clothing is going to go in the clothing store, or whether it's a clothing store or an antique store.
No.
You know, those things are really not going to be changeable. Do you pretty much agree with what I was saying? I know you walked in.
I think the uses that we've defined
application for
are very good.
They already have that existing.
Yeah. Right.
So you have a use and a change of use. So if they put a use...
So at, yeah, if you put in a use application to zoning, mm-hmm. it would be up to the zoning officer to determine
if it needs to go
for a conditional and use that, at that point.
And that could be a condition that could be part of a, assuming we can get to a conditional use approval, that would say that, that the zoning officer, if it has any concerns, has to go to a conditional use. Because at least that would eliminate the more obvious ones that we don't have a problem.
And, that, and that's the way our ordinance reads now. Any business coming
that's
in.
That's logical, yep. I agree.
Well, I think that'll work.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, with that, Mr. Chairman, do you want to ask Mr. Waldron to present the overview for us?
If you're satisfied with where we're at, yes. Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I'm going to do a brief overview because you presumably haven't had a chance to read the entire package, which is fairly thick. You also just got, as I understand it from the zoning officer, the review, and I assume you haven't had the chance to read that, nor have we. But I thought...
I don't believe the review has gone to Nancy yet.
Okay. What I thought we'd do is to have primarily Patrick, I'll do a little bit, but just do, you know, show the plan, explain what's been done, how you in general addressed the new ordinance that was adopted in April, the curative amendment ordinance. And I think that's probably mainly it. And then if you have questions about, you know, what might be going there or this versus that, if Jim can answer them, Jim DePetris, who's here, he's the head of the development company that's proposing this, for those who haven't been here before, and we'd be glad to do that. And then we'll kind of wait and see what you review and get, maybe dig down a little bit more next month.
So, you know, I'd be happy to go over the plan and be happy to discuss all the different components of it. I have brought with me our summary sheet, the first couple pages,
right.
which incorporate what we submitted in late 2024, as well as the updated items that were required because of the PUCD. I'd be happy to go through them piece by piece if you'd like, or if there's particular items you want to just concentrate on, the ones that were the...
What we want to do at this point in time is let you give the presentation the way you'd like to do it.
And okay.
We'll get into the weeds and that stuff once we get going. Is that,
I think that, then, that, I mean, for better or worse, I think the best way to do it might be to go through the whole cover letter.
Okay.
If that's okay with you.
That was the top of the application package.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm just going to start. I'm going to read off. If you guys think it's a little bit more cumbersome the way I'm presenting it, please let me know and we can summarize. We can skip the different parts.
Okay. Well, you want to give us what you believe are the highlights.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. I'm going to start with the headers of each section, and I'll discuss them very briefly.
Okay.
So we started with a brief summary of the project, and I'll read this because it's kind of important. This project proposes the development of a vacant property along Route 6 and 209 in Milford Township. The development will consist of multiple structures for mixed commercial, retail, and services. Potential uses include health facility, gasoline service station, hotel, restaurant, retail and service establishments, professional offices are similar. All uses that are in the approved in this zoning district. Now we discuss the applicability of a conditional use. Because the project is located in a DD development district, the above potential uses are all either principal property uses of conditional uses per the Milford Township Zoning Ordinance Schedule of District Regulations. Then I talk about standards and criteria, bond information, basically summarize everything we're doing here. The 2024 Milford Township Comprehensive Plan, I just wanted to summarize this because it appears this project was specifically mentioned to be developed for use almost exactly like what we're proposing in this project. So I gave a little summary of that, referencing your I believe your comprehensive plan has been adopted. When I first started this, it was on your website. I believe it's been adopted since then.
Yes, it has.
Okay. I did discuss the zoning letter, and I kept a copy of it in the application.
From 2025.
From 2025, correct. And then I get into the approved curative amendment, and I attach that to the package as well. So I'm going to start with the standards for approval of a PUCD. So number one, minimum lot area for PUCD shall be 10 acres. We're proposing 20 acres plus, and then the minimum lot area per each principal use is 20,000 square feet, approximately half acres. So we're proposing every use in this development, right now there's five, to take greater than 20,000 square feet. Number of principal buildings, no more than 25% of the gross lot area shall be covered by buildings. Our gross lot area of the building coverage is 3.8%, so we're well within that requirement. Minimum lot width for PUCD is 400 feet. We're proposing 735 feet. Minimum setbacks, 50 feet for front, 35 for side and rear. And this does get a little bit more complicated. I'm going to jump into that in a second. 100-foot front yard setback is provided. The rear setback is 300 feet plus, and the closest side yard is 77 feet. Minimum lot coverage for PUCD lot is 25%. And there's an allowance in there for maximum lot coverage that we're proposing is 35%. Setbacks can be increased to 75 feet, which allows for 65% coverage. The setbacks are increased to 75 feet. So the new plan we have does show setbacks as 75 feet. So that allows us to increase the lot coverage. Maximum height is required 45. We're proposing less than 45. Parking for each use will be per township ordinance. We are proposing in our plan, we have a table documenting the uses, documenting, calculating out the proposed and required parking, and we're under the required number. The submittal, the applicant shall submit plans and accompanying information meeting section 608 of the ordinance. This document includes all the information required under 608. Access, a PUCD shall have an access road so the uses can be accessed. We just talked about this a bunch of times. So we do have a main driveway coming into the facility. That driveway is going to be, it's off a PennDOT state route. So we're gonna have to coordinate with PennDOT, which we have started the process already. We put that on pause until we get through this, but we're gonna have to, the traffic engineer we have been in conversations with is gonna be involved. There'll definitely be traffic studies. We are also looking at the possibility of a one-way in or maybe even one-way out. That'll all be part of coordination with PennDOT. It'll all be part of our overall plan, and it'll come in when we get to the land development process after we get through the conditional use. So PennDOT's gonna be a major player in this. Like I mentioned, we have already started conversations with them. Stage construction. The project will be constructed in phases. Following land development approval, all common infrastructure and improvements will be constructed. So for example, the common development will be the access driveway, it'll be the stormwater management, it'll be the utilities, sanitary water, it'll be whatever improvements are needed on the state highway, as well as everything getting into the facility. And then from there, the plan is to develop the front three uses, which include retail and potentially a coffee shop, a convenience slash gas station, and a fast food restaurant. Then later on down the road, the uses in the back will be developed. Now, we don't have a time frame for any of them, and I tried to document that with this response here in the submittal. Lot regulations, each principal building shall comply with the regulations of the DD district. The buildings on our proposed development all comply with the regulations of the DD district, and that'll all be, you know, reinforced and supplemented through our land development process. Interior lot covenants, interior lot covenants have been provided. They're inside the package. Attorney Waldron can get into them a little bit later on, or they are there for your review. Coordinated stormwater management. So this is a good-sized project. We understand that stormwater management needs to be approved by the township, by your engineer, by the Pike County Conservation District, and there will be an NPDES permit associated with this. So we've shown on the plan schematic stormwater management, which, you know, the number one thing that I look at as an engineer when we're doing stormwater on the high-level stuff is I look at the ratios required for your NPDES permitting for that they require for groundwater recharge and for water quality. And then the 5-to-1 and 8-to-1, 5-to-1 impervious too. So we try to plan our stormwater so that 1/5 of all new impervious area is basin bottom. That's like when I'm designing stormwater, that's the first number I look at to see, are we gonna have adequate space? If we don't, there's the option to do underground detention, which is buried pipe or storm tech chambers. That's an option, just gonna cost the developer a couple more bucks. But we've pre-planned our development, this development, to show stormwater management on the site. Green or recreational space. So a minimum of 20% of this development will be green or recreational space consisting of parks, plazas, greens, walking paths, gardens, or recreational facilities, public spaces. So one quarter of this public space shall be recreational facilities available to the general public and concentrated in one or two areas. Public space shall not be located in areas that are environmentally constrained or where stormwater management facilities are located. The attached plans indicate multiple locations possible for public space. The final locations and specifics of these spaces will be submitted with the land development plan. So in our new plan, we show a couple different spaces which can be used for public space, including the front yard. There's some large setbacks. They're going to be relatively flat, green, so we can provide some uses there that might be available for the public. We are also providing 10 parking spaces in the back, and there's a access way that gets you down to the property in the back, down along the Delaware River, which I believe is it county-owned land now? Yeah. County-owned land. So public can come in, park at these 10 spaces that are designated for that. They can take the trail down to get down to the river and the county-owned spaces. That would all need to be coordinated with the county. We don't want to, we don't want to just tell them we're throwing people out on their property. And when we go through the land development process, Pike County Planning Commission will be involved in this. They will definitely be reviewing this. We'll have a lot of conversations with them. So that'll all be discussed as part of the land development. Sewage and water service. There is public water available. So we have a letter in here about the capacity availability, and it will serve from the public water. Sanitary, we're proposing on-lot sanitary. We have approximately 3 acres dedicated for dispersal, and we've also had conversations with pretreatment companies that are gonna. So the sewage, we're in the process of developing, getting our gallonage, getting our BOD, total suspended solids, and we're gonna provide them to a sanitary company, national sanitary design company, that will provide pretreatment that will then be coordinated with our soil scientists. And we'll have all our applications, permits, approvals required to be submitted to the township, which will then be submitted to DEP for on-lot sanitary to treat the sanitary for the whole site. Next item. The PUCD shall also comply with all other applicable sections of this ordinance except as specified in this section 431. It must specifically comply with section 426, the wellhead protection ordinance. So we plan to comply with all other sections of the ordinance, and we're not in the wellhead protection zone. We provided a document in this package that shows that. Let me take a break. Any questions before I go to the next spot? Okay. Yeah, keep going then. So zoning application. The Milford Township Zoning Ordinance as amended June 5th, 2017.
Hang on one second. Can you guys hear him clearly?
Yes.
Okay.
Just wanted to make sure. Otherwise, I've moved the mic.
Sure. Yeah, I can go stand in front of you, rather.
Thanks. You just...
That's fine.
Okay.
Take it easy.
All right. There is a section in the ordinance 608 on referencing conditional uses, and as well as the curative amendment 106 was utilized in the preparation of this application. So I'm going to go into section 608 of the ordinance. 608.4 standards criteria A, there shall be a community need for the proposed use at the proposed section. What I tried to do here is I reference your comprehensive plan, which I think is an overall view of the township, and says what the township's goals for the future and how you want to manage and plan out properly. So this property is specifically mentioned for this specific development, and not specific, for a development very similar to this. So we feel like we are, we do feel like there's a community need, and we do feel it's documented in the comprehensive plan. The proposed uses at the proposed location shall not result in a substantial or an undue adverse effect on adjacent property. The character of the neighborhood, traffic conditions, parking, public sites or right-of-ways, adjacent property values, or other matters affecting the public health, safety, and general welfare, either as they now exist or as they may in the future be developed as a result of the implementation of this ordinance or any other plan, program, map, or ordinance of the township or other government agency having jurisdiction to guide growth and development. So then I talked a little bit about all the, that paragraph had a lot of items in there. I talked specifically about each of them. The adjacent property and character of the neighborhood. And talk about the south. I'll just read it off to you instead of trying to summarize it. The adjacent properties to the southwest and northeast are commercial or service uses similar to this proposed project. The adjacent property to the south and southeast is undeveloped and along the Delaware River, in a significant grade difference also. This property is also separated by significant slope of 60 plus feet and mature vegetation that will not be impacted as part of this project. The property across the street is the remaining portion of the former Santos farm that may be developed in the future. Then I talk about traffic conditions, and similar to what I mentioned before, we do have a traffic consultant on the team, and conversations have started with PennDOT. Parking, we're meeting parking requirements per the table required in the ordinance. Public sites or right-of-ways. The developer has discussed and will make a commitment to the township to provide a driveway to the property to the south and southeast for public use and access to lands adjacent to the Del River. This is the area I mentioned earlier with those 10 parking spaces, which provide access to their, it's not an official trail, but there is a trail that leads down to the Delaware River and the county land. Adjacent property values, as is typical with the proposed uses in this type of development, this development, there's just history that shows adjacent properties do increase in value with this property, with a development like this. I don't have any of those facts, but I think it's common knowledge. The neighbor's property value should increase. Other matters affecting public health, safety, and general welfare, either as they now exist or as they may in the future be developed as a result of the implementation of the ordinance or any other plan, program, map, or ordinance of the township or other government agency having jurisdiction to guide growth and development. The developer and their supporting consultants is prepared to work with the township, their consultants, and other review and regulatory agents to be sure the proposed development does not create a negative impact on the above mentioned factors. This will be done throughout the planning and design phase of the land development process, as well as this process that we're working through right now. All right, item C. Proposed uses at the proposed location shall not impose an undue burden on any of the improvements, facilities,